It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Just over 22 years ago, Deb and Mike Scurring of Pella, Iowa, made a decision to become foster parents. Since that time, they've cared for 100 newborn babies, sharing their love with each child before they either returned to their biological families or moved on to adoptive families. I'm going to talk with both of them, and Deb is on the line with us now. Hello, Deb.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
Mike is also with us. Hello, Mike.
Hello there.
Thank you both for being here today. And I want to go back in time to a little more than 22 years ago. Deb, you had at that time two living biological children. You're a family of four. You'd also gone through some really terrible heartbreak. Can you tell me what happened?
I can. I'll start by saying that Mike and I were married in 81, and we discovered just 4 months later that we were expecting our first child. And although she wasn't planned, we were very excited about this. And when I was about 5.5 months pregnant, I went into labor, not knowing that it was labor. It was during Pella's tulip time celebration, and that's kind of a big deal, especially that my husband has a business on the square in Pella, so he's very involved with tulip time. And I kind of remember running through the crowds in a fog, obviously only 5.5 months pregnant, not realizing that I was probably transitioning into labor. And I remember just trying to get to Mike's clothing store, just thinking something doesn't feel right. And anyway, it turns out I was in labor. And by the time we realized it, Mike carried me to the car in the middle of the night, early morning, and took me to Pella's hospital. And they said, the doctor there who examined me said, I do think she's in labor. And he said, he was trying to consider whether or not it was a good idea to lifelight me by helicopter to Des Moines, where they had better equipment to save the baby. And his words were, I'm not sure she will make it, meaning I might not make it before I went into labor. Right. So Mike had to drive to Des Moines following the helicopter with his mother. And Andrea was born. Our first baby was born on Mother's Day of 1982, and she was so tiny that the breathing tube that they would put in her nose didn't even fit. So she succumbed to her underdeveloped lungs. Otherwise, she was perfect in every way. She looked like Mike, but we said goodbye to our daughter on her first and only day of life. Doctors didn't know why I went early and just encouraged us to go ahead and get pregnant again. And exactly 1 year later, on May 9th of 83, which would have been Andrea's birthday, our son David was born, also about 2.5 months early. And he spent May 9th, 10th, and part of the 11th in the hospital's neonatal unit until he also succumbed to premature birth complications. So Andrea and David share a birthday, and they share a headstone at Pella's Oakwood Cemetery. So between that time and the time that we actually had our dreams come true with our firstborn son, it would be our thirdborn, we endured lots of medical tests and procedures and even infertility, and until it was discovered that I needed a surgery to carry our babies full term. And so we had two high-risk pregnancies, which resulted in our answered prayers with the birth of our son Alex in 1986 and our daughter Sarah in 1988. So because of what we lived, we believed that we had uniquely developed hearts that can bond with newborns and then joyfully turn them over to their forever families without the lingering sadness that might accompany another couple who hadn't walked in our shoes.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that long, hard journey to having your beautiful family. But I want to talk about the moment when you decided to become foster parents, because now there you were with two young kids at home. Mike, do you remember where the idea first originated?
I sure do. We attended a hotly reformed church, a real small community where we lived, which is near Pella. And the pastor's daughter was a director of a private adoption agency, and she approached Deb if she would be willing to go to a meeting about foster care. And we hadn't really given it any thought at that point. And Deb said, well, I'm really not interested, but yeah, I'll go to the meeting. And it happened from that point that we went through the licensing process, and that's where it began. And that was in 1995.
And you chose, after getting licensed to be foster parents, you chose to take care of newborn babies. And foster parents have to make a lot of decisions about what kinds of children they'll be able to welcome into their homes. Deb gave us a little bit of insight into that. But Mike, do you remember why you chose to care for infants?
Well, that's where our hearts were. I think God had prepared us over a long period of time, though we didn't realize it at the beginning of the journey, what was going to happen and how long this journey would be. But our hearts really were with infants, and our hearts were with couples that had difficult time having their own biological family.
So you wanted to be able to care for these babies so they could be adopted by people who couldn't have their own children?
That is correct. A lot of foster homes foster to hopefully adopt, and we went into this knowing that we were never going to have the desire to adopt any of them. It was that would be a selfish part of it. It was to bring joy to couples that couldn't have kids.
Deb, tell me about the first time you brought home a newborn through foster care.
Anna was our first newborn, and she was placed with us in October of 95, and our children, Alex was 9 and Sarah was 7 at the time, and we were surprised to learn that Anna had some medical problems, and it all occurred I'm a night owl. I was in the kitchen at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I could hear from our bedroom Mike calling out Anna's name, and we kept the babies in a cradle right next to our bed, and I thought, I heard Anna, and I thought, now why would anybody awaken a sleeping baby? But Anna was a noisy breather, and Mike heard her stop breathing. And so anyway, it turned out that Anna had a cyst in her nasal passage that would stop her breathing. So we ended up in Pella Hospital first and then went on to Iowa City Hospital, and it turned out that Anna required surgery.
Oh, wow.
So I credit Mike with actually saving her life, but I ended up staying with Anna for a week while she had a little over a week actually in Iowa City Hospitals while she had her surgery, and Mike tended to his clothing store and to our children during that time. And then Anna stayed with us a little bit longer, and she, when it was time for her to be adopted, she went to a couple who was so excited to have her, and we knew that this was a dream come true and answered prayer for them, but it took an emotional toll
Sure.
on our children and us, and so we really needed to reevaluate if this was going to be a process that we continued with fostering. And I don't know, a few weeks later, we got a call from the state for another baby, and you're already licensed. And so you say yes, and you did it. And never, ever did we believe that this would lead to 100 babies.
Yeah.
But it did, and that's where we're at now.
So what made it possible? It sounds like all four of you, your children as well, have been very involved in caring for all of these infants. What makes it possible to love a child like you do and then say goodbye? It sounds like that was very, very hard the first time.
It was. And in order for this we call it a ministry, to be successful, the entire family must be on board and willing to make sacrifices. I was often a very sleep-deprived wife and mother, and I also might be late or sometimes even miss some of my children's events due to unexpected responsibilities for the baby. So it really takes the entire family being on board, and I just think that your hearts must be in this. Mike and I have met through our training, our annual training that is required for licensing, many extraordinary couples who foster children that we can't imagine would, you know, we just think they have a really tough job. They've got some teenagers and that they will foster, and we kind of smile when we're in classes with sharing these instructions with 30 other people, and the instructor is asking the group, will you take a child who has been known to run away or different things like this? And they're raising their hands, and then these same people say to Mike and I, how can you take a newborn? Because I would think that you would bond with them and quicker. It's just very easy to bond with a baby who is 2 days old and comes directly from the hospital. And they're saying, we couldn't do it. We couldn't give them up. And we just think, I believe you could if you'd lived what we lived.
Right.
So there are so many incredible families within the system who all have their own special gifts and strengths. And we are in awe of many of these families. We've been asked in interviews, how can you do this? And I really do believe that it is because our hearts were created this way. And I just think one thing that I would like to add. The state of Iowa maybe has a bit of a black eye now with the two tragedies that were devastating within the foster care system.
Right, two children who died
starved,
tragically,
yes.
and were abused by their foster or their adoptive
Correct.
Parents. Yes,
correct. And so that we would like to just say that that's not the norm, and. It is heartbreaking. Those stories are heartbreaking. But overwhelmingly, we see the hearts of those who have committed their lives to being there for children in the foster care system without any desire for gain. And they certainly aren't doing it, I believe, for, you know, financial gain at all, because we've recently learned that those who do get payment, it averages out to about 67 cents an hour. So I would just like to say that it's not for everybody, but those who are very successful foster families are incredible, selfless people. 90% of our babies were fostered for a private agency for which we received no payment. And I do not say this for a pat on the back. I say this to point out that, and then we need to point out too that there were added expenses to our household, and I was not contributing financially to our household. So I just think the fact that Mike and our children endured some of the,
challenges,
sacrifices.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, the sacrifices that were made, and there was never a complaint from Mike that, I mean, he had to give a lot, and he was incredibly supportive and encouraging about this. I just think that that speaks volumes, and that we were in a position to help. And
there are many, many other foster parents who are also as selfless and kind and caring.
Exactly.
And, before we run out of time, I want to ask you, both of you, so you've been counting the babies, you've been saving these memories over the years. And they've been with you for very varying lengths of time, sometimes a few days, sometimes up to 11 months, almost a year. So how do you think back on all of these children that you have shared your lives with, Mike?
Well, I've been looking through the book quite a few times recently, and it just kind of
a scrapbook where you keep pictures of all the children.
Yeah, with all their names and the time we had them, and it just kind of gives me chills and brings tears to my eyes, actually.
And you've actually been in touch with some of the families that adopted these children, right, Deb?
Those who reach out to us, that's right. And there are a few within the community, and some extra special ones that we had longer and who have kept in touch by joining us for holidays sometimes. And we had one little gal who stood up in our daughter's wedding as her foster sister. And so we've had families who have wanted to come back to our home to visit, to show their children where they got their start. And that brings us great joy when we get to see these children and with their forever families, and and we see lots of dreams come true. And so, yeah, that's a very rewarding part of all of this.
I'd like to point one thing out, if I could.
Sure.
Through this whole process, we've had obviously 100 different situations, and there have been times when our home was filled with adoptive parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, grandparents, the birth family, the adoptive family, tears of joy and tears of sorrow. And through it all, my wife always has the right thing to say to them. She's uh-huh. been an incredible ministry to them.
Oh, well, you've both touched so many lives. Thank you so much for talking with me this hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Deb and Mike Scurring of Pella, Iowa, they have cared for 100 newborn babies through foster care, sometimes reuniting them with their biological families or as the babies move on to adoptive forever families. Talk of Iowa is produced by Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Emily Woodbury, Ben Stanton, Lindsay Moon, and Dennis Reese. We had production assistance today from Natalia Reyes and John Pemble. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.